My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread hope and encouragement to people around the world. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to CWH. We want you to know how grateful we are to be in your homes every week. We would love to have you invite your friends, family, and neighbors to join us. Every day we read such encouraging notes and letters that are sent in. Thank you for your kind words to us. A viewer from Iowa writes, "I am in a nursing home and have been watching your broadcasts. I am always encouraged by your sermons. You bless my soul as I learn with your messages." In today's message, Almost a Christian, my dad shares the account of Jesus teaching the scribe how to inherit the kingdom of God. We hope this service will be of comfort to you. God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And another week has gone by. Here we are. And all over the world, we're going to gather together to worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And I've got a sermon that I really like to preach. It's entitled, Almost a Christian. And it's about a story of a man. He's come, and Jesus says, "You're almost a Christian. You're almost in the kingdom of God, but you're not in." And so we're going to study about that and look at that. It's just a wonderful story. So I hope that you'll call your friends and join us and pray for the service, and we'll worship the Lord together. We're looking at Psalm 121, the opening verses. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word of God. We thank you that your eye is always upon us, that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the earth, and nothing is hidden from your sight. Oh, we worship you. We rejoice in you. And you can see us and you can help us, Lord. And when we're lonely and when we don't know anybody thinks of anything about us, your eye is upon us and all your people, and you love us and you help us. So we will gather together to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jan's going to sing for us, "I Know in Whom I Have Believed." And God bless you, Jan. Well, thank you, Jan. God bless you. And isn't that a wonderful truth? We never fear about our salvation. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we never have to fear because we are saved forever. Once saved, always saved, all the way to glory. And we've got a little booklet out, I'm going to give you the address in just a few minutes. And it's, can a Christian lose their salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. If you're born again, you're a child of God forever. And we have a good number. All of the inside is given with scriptures proving and showing that when you're saved, you're always saved. I know Paul didn't say, I hope I'm saved. I hope I get to heaven. I'm wishing I could get to heaven. With good luck, I'll get to heaven. He said, I know. I know. He says, we know that all things work together. He knows that. And when you come to the Word of God, you can know that you're saved and saved forever. Okay, now that's not the sermon, so don't go away. We want to read some letters. We get some wonderful letters, and sometimes we get around 100 a day or so. I don't remember just exactly. But anyway, we read every letter, and we answer if you have a question, a spiritual question, and we'll write that. Now, if you're asking, how many angels can sit on the head of a pin, then we don't bother with that. But if you're sincere and you're searching to know the things of the Lord, the rapture, something like that, we always answer your letters every time. And so we want to share some of those letters. And the first one is from Venus, Florida. And this person writes, such a comfort each Saturday to hear you speak, as many say, down to earth and plain enough for all to understand. Also, you're not asking for money for airplanes and other material things. No, we're not asking for money for airplanes. Like somebody said, well, I wonder, if he would maybe get a sports car. If we send too much money, he might get a sports car. I'm 96 years old. Now, do you think I'm going to get in a sports car without a top on it and bull around town? I don't have very good judgment, but I'm not going to be doing that. And I'm going to tell you something. When you send a gift to the Christian Worship Hour, we are audited by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization. And they check all of our income, and they check how we spend our money. So when you send a gift to the Christian Worship Hour, it'll go to exactly that, preaching the gospel to all the world by television and shortwave radio. We cover 90% of the world by shortwave radio alone. So praise God. And so she says, worrying about sending to money. And then she said, I want to express my thanks for your new song that you send. And she says, I read it over and over. I really enjoyed the John 3:16 verse and how you explained it simply. Years ago, I taught Wednesday night services to young people. This was the first Bible verse they learned. And so the new song is a little publication we put out every month. And it's a little Bible study is what it is. And this month, the month of August, it is on pictures of the Bible. And like a hammer or like a sword or like a mirror. I'm not going to tell you all of them. But we have different things, the way the Bible is presented to us. It reveals the Bible and how wonderful it is and how that it's the living word of the living God. And that God, it says in the scriptures, forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled in heaven that word of God is going to be precisely like God gave it to us and like Jesus taught it and how the apostles, how they were writing the word of God. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so God spoke through men and they wrote the word, a wonderful word of God. And that wonderful word of God will never end. It'll be with us forever in heaven. So when you read the Bible, you can just really count on it. If you read what the politicians say, could change in the next 30 minutes. But God's word never changes. Well, let's see. Edwardsburg, Michigan. And says, my husband became ill of cancer in January. We've been unable to attend our church services. So on Sunday, I turn on the TV and watch your service, which blesses me. I can't carry a tune now, but I can sing as loud as I want in my home and offend nobody. And that's just what you can do. And we hear from people, they sing along with us, and some of them read their Bibles along with us. And some, when we ask for the offering, start to write out a check or something for us. It's just wonderful. We're just having worship services all over the world. There isn't a part of the world that the 10% of the shortwave radio covers 90% of the globe. And so there's a little speck that isn't covered, but praise God. And television is almost as good as that, as strong as that. And so you can do, maybe while we're calling for the offering, you can write a check. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Here is the Pelican Rapids, Minnesota. Just one big thank you again this month for keeping me on the Jesus track. The Jesus track. Well, St. Paul talked about running the race. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's the Olympic Games. He knew about the Olympic Games. And so he talks about wrestling, and wrestle not against flesh and blood. And he talks about a run the race of life, or run for the race that's set before me. I press toward the mark. All of these are sports things. But he's talking about how he's doing it in the spiritual. And that's what we do in the spiritual. And all of us can be winners in the Lord when we serve the Lord. And the Lord doesn't ask us to be successful. He doesn't ask us to be famous. You know what he asks us to do? To be faithful in teaching and witnessing and preaching the word. Be faithful, and we can all be faithful. If you got one talent or you got 50 talents that God gives, and the Holy Spirit gives it to us when we're born again. He gives us our talents, our gifts then, the gift to do certain things. And whether you got one or you got 50, it doesn't make any difference. You can be faithful. We can all be the same being faithful. Well, let's see. Here's one from Denison, Iowa. And she said, I smiled when I heard you tell the pin cushion story. I have my dear grandma's pin. She came over from Sweden at age 18, not even speaking English. She and Grandpa loved the Lord and the Mission Covenant Church in Odebold, Iowa, and he served it as its pastor. And as I just think that is so beautiful that here's this dear brother, and he's serving this church, and we've never heard anything about it before, but God knows all about it. And you ought to pray for your pastor. You ought to pray that God will help him and bless him or her, as the case might be. And in this story, I know she says they laughed when she talked about the pin cushion. And I know you're saying, oh boy, I missed that pin cushion. I bet you I was asleep. Oh no, not asleep. I was meditating, but I didn't get it. Well, I'll tell you what the story is. It's about a little 9-year-old girl. And Aunt Susie sends for Christmas, she sends the little 9-year-old girl a pin cushion. And in those days, years ago, we always used to write thank you notes. And so the little girl's mother says, now you got to write Aunt Susie and thank her for that pin cushion. So the little girl dutifully answered the letter, and she wrote like this, Dear Aunt Susie, I always wanted a pin cushion, but not very bad. Well, God bless her. And that was my pincushion story. And you see, and it's really not very complimentary to me, but they remember those stories and they don't remember my sermons. And so I don't like those stories. Well, here's one from Caleb, Minnesota. Pastor, listen here. We want to pray for this dear man and his wife. Pastor, my wife walked out of our marriage a couple of years ago. She won't even talk to me, and I want you to pray for her that she would forgive me, because the unforgiveness in her heart can do harm to her spirit. He's got it right on. Now, I don't know who's to blame and who isn't to blame. Probably it's about 50-50. There's always two sides to it. But whoever is to blame, it doesn't matter. He's praying for his wife because she won't have unforgiveness because it makes her bitter. You know, the Bible talks about a root of bitterness growing in our soul. And that happens when we won't forgive people. And then we are stunted. We don't grow spiritually until we forgive and go on and move on. And so this man is praying for his wife. He goes on and says, she'll do harm in her heart, in her spirit. She is a good woman, and I love her very much. I trust in the Lord with all my heart, so I know I'll be with her again someday, if not on earth, in heaven. Keep up the good work. So wouldn't it be nice if all of us all over the world would just pray for this one couple? Pray that the God will bring them together again. I've had weddings for people that had divorces. I think I've had two where they left and then they came back. And it was successful coming back. So just pray. And just pray for all of these families that are having trouble and couples that are having troubles and they're fussing over things. And the divorce rate is so high. Just pray to God that they can work something out. And if they would just both come to know Jesus, that'll make a big difference. And then lean on Jesus. And when you have Jesus in your marriage, you got a lot better chance of it working out. Here's Roten, Texas. And says, please pray for me that I can find peace and strength in my sorrow. And he can have peace because Jesus says, I came to give peace. Read John chapter 17. And he tells in that chapter how he came to bring peace and how that you may have love and peace and joy and happiness in your life. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 7, and it talks about the peace of God. And this peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so this wonderful Jesus, if you ask him into your heart, into your life, he will give you peace. I don't say he's going to give you healing. I don't say he's going to make you rich. I don't say he's going to take you out of the troubles of life or make you well or anything like that. He might and he might not, but he'll give you peace. And he'll give you the minute you do it. You just pray and say, Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. I sinned against you, and I'm sorry for that. And I'll forsake my sins and follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. In your own words, just talk to Jesus. Don't get fancy. Don't have to have thee and thou. Just talk to Jesus. One more letter. Slater, Missouri. I know we'll know loved ones in heaven, but what if a loved one, like a wayward child, doesn't make it? Will we realize they're not there? Please answer. Well, you know, that comes up a good number of times. And I had a seminary professor, Dr. Robert L. Moyer. And that's been 60, 70 years ago when I was in Bible school. And the way he handled it was, by the way, he's the one that taught me theology. And he taught us all to preach the Bible. He says you can get all the Bible you can into the Word of God, into your sermons. And he said, remember this, whenever God puts down a period, don't you put down a question mark. And you rightly divide the Word of truth and you study it and you be faithful to it. And I've been that as best I can. And when he talked about people that didn't get to heaven, loved ones that didn't get to heaven. And Dr. Moyer used to say, when we get to heaven, God says our joy will be full. There will be room for nothing else. There will be no room for sorrow or pain or anything like that. It will be just filled with joy and happiness. And then he used an illustration. He says, if you have a bucket of water and it's full to the brim, you can't put anything else into it. And if your life in heaven is filled to the brim with joy, there won't be any room for anything else. I don't know how God's going to work it out, but I know he will. And he'll have it all planned and it'll be just perfect. I do know that heaven is so wonderful you can't put it into words. And I know there's no sorrow or parting or anything like that. It's just eternal bliss, singing the praises of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. So now I hope that you will write, and I'm going to give you the address now. you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you can send us a gift on internet if you want to. You get internet just christianworshiphour.com. And on there it'll say donate, and you can send any part of the world. We get for all parts, different parts of the world. We get currency, and we get it in our American currency so we can pay our bills. Because we have to pay our bills just like anybody else, and we wouldn't have it any other way. God isn't going to beg his way. We'll pay our way. But we have to have your help. We're not underwritten by any organization. We're not underwritten by a denomination. We're underwritten by the people of God as they're moved by the Spirit of God. That's exactly it. So we tell you we have a need. And you have to say, now, dear Jesus, you talk to God about that. Is this something that you're pleased with? Is this something you're using? Are you in this? And are you feeding God's people? Are people coming to know you? Just talk to him and ask him what you do, and then God will tell you. He'll tell you if you should give. He says, no, you should give to some other. There are other Christian, there are other television shows where the Word of God is honored. We're not the only one, but we have to be one of them if we're going to carry on. And so, like James says, he says, you have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people you need something, how will they know? They'll figure you have enough. So we need your help. And we live like the dentist. We live from hand to mouth. That's the way it is. You send it in, we send it out, the way we go. In the meantime, people are getting saved, Christians are being helped. So this is what you do. You just ask God, and then you do what he lays on your heart. So Jan's going to play. And I'm going to pray, and you give as God leads, and everything will be done according to God's will. That's all we want. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all of those who stand by. Thank you for new ones that are coming in. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Jan. We appreciate your ministry and music. It's just so wonderful to hear her give some of these renditions. Well, we're reading from Mark chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to that. I know that some of you get dressed, all dressed up, and you get your Bibles, and you sit there to worship. And some in some places, several of you get together, and that's your church service. And so you get Mark chapter 12. And we're going to start with verse 28. And in this passage, Jesus is preaching at the temple. And there are Sadducees and Pharisees and scribes and people and all. And he's preaching about loving God and putting God first and our neighbor second. And then he comes to the and then a scribe comes and talks to him about this matter, and Jesus tells him, you're almost in the kingdom, you're almost saved. And so the 28th verse, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And then listen to this last verse. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. No man after that durst ask him any questions. And so we're going to pray. And in our prayer, you know, we always pray for the persecuted church. And we're praying for the church in Tunisia today. So Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace. You've invited us to do that. You've told us that we can come to the very throne of God and present our petitions and give our praise and give our thanks and talk to you. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior and what a wonderful God. And so now today we're praying that you'll help us, that if there are some, Lord, they're so close to you, they are almost to open their heart to you, but they haven't done that. They don't have an intimate relationship with you. And oh, all over the world, we pray that millions will say that prayer and just pray and ask you to come into their heart and confess their sins to you, Lord, not to man, but to you. And then, Lord, if they promise that they'll follow you, oh, we pray for that to happen. We pray for the young people and the adults and all of the rest, but especially those who are on their way to a Christless eternity, a place of torment that Jesus warned us about, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, God, you snatch them from the fire and bring them to you today in this service. And we'll give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank, who has been with us since we started, is going to sing, Here I Am to Worship. And God bless you, Hank.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful. Of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether. ever wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loved, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So wonderful, so beautiful, wonderful.
Well, thank you, and God bless you, Hank. And I thought as he was singing, that's exactly it. All around the world, we're gathering together to worship, all over the world. How many is that? Only God and the angels know. And we're worshiping the one God, the Creator, Maker of heaven and earth. Wonderful, wonderful God. Oh, what a privilege it is to know Jesus Christ personally and to be a child of God. And all we pray that everyone listening will be saved. And we have a story today about a scribe, and Jesus is teaching at the temple, and the scribe comes to him, and he wants to know about getting into the kingdom, about becoming a Christian, about knowing the Lord. And we see that, and he saw Jesus puts into a test, and he answers the questions. And then we read, and when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, that thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. That is, you're not far from entering heaven. You're not far from being born again. You're not far from becoming a child of God. You're not far from having your name written in the books of life. And yet, you're not a part of it. Even though you're close, even though you can see the, maybe smell the fragrance of heaven or see the beauty of heaven, you're not in, and you're on your way to eternity. Jesus knew this man's heart. He knew he was sincere. And you know, we don't know if a person's sincere or not. We can't see their heart. That's why we shouldn't judge. Don't you judge anybody. Jesus is the judge. And Jesus knows the heart, and he knows the intents of the heart. He knew, and Jesus knew this man's heart. He knew he was sincere. He knew the scribe wanted to know the way, truly wanted to know the way. He wanted to know the truth. And therefore, he encouraged him. Jesus encouraged him. You're awfully close. So let's look at this for this scribe. He's awfully close. Let's look at him. Well, first of all, he believed in God. He even quoted the Old Testament scriptures so that he had memorized it, knew that by heart. He visited the temple daily, not once in 7 days like people nowadays. He went 7 days out of the week. Every day he went. Wouldn't you like to go to church 7 days out of the week? And maybe you say, well, if they had a decent sermon. Well, now listen, Buster, we could have the best sermon on earth, but you wouldn't come 7 days a week. But this man was so dedicated, yet he wasn't in the kingdom of God. And then he goes on. He agreed with God. He didn't have an argument with God. There's some people who are angry with God of all the stupid, foolish things to do. But he agreed with God. He agreed that there was one God worthy of love and adoration, and that our hearts should go out to him. He agreed that God deserved burnt offerings, which would be considerable cost, that at least a lamb or a bull. He agreed that our love was more important to this God than all the offerings it could put together could be. Our love was the most important thing. In other words, God would rather have our love and obedience than he would tithes and offerings. And Micah, the old prophet Micah, in the 6th chapter in verses 6 to 8, this is what he says about the subject. Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? That's what he wanted. And that's what this man was trying to do, is to walk with God. And yet Jesus said, yes, he believed in God. But yet Jesus said, you're not in. You're close, but you're not in. You're not a Christian. Or then look at this man. He knew the scriptures. He was a scribe. And you know what the scribe did? That's all he did was preach the scriptures and teach and reveal the scriptures. And if they had questions about the Old Testament, they would come to the scribes. And they knew that Old Testament inside and outside. He was a lawyer of the day. And his clientele were people that wanted to know something about God's word and about God. He was a scribe. And he had all of that. But yet he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't in the kingdom. And then he attended the worship services regularly. He met the Lord Jesus in the temple. And that's a good place to meet Jesus, is in the temple or in the church. But you can meet him anywhere. And you can meet him on our service today. And you says, how can I meet Jesus over the television set? I'll tell you how you can do it. You can just say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. Maybe some of you like to get on your knees and do it. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. And you just talk to Jesus. You say, I don't know how to pray. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. Say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. And he knows that, but he wants you to admit it. I've sinned against you. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And then tell somebody what you did. I was 10 years old when I made that prayer. And I can remember it if it was last night. I didn't hear bells and see whistles, see lights and hear whistles and all of the rest of it. As a matter of fact, I didn't do much of anything except pray. And that's all that is. It's a contract that you're making with God, you're making with Jesus, and you're saying, dear Jesus, I'm asking you to take away my sins. And Jesus says, if you come to me and ask me for your forgiveness of sins, I'll forgive your sins, and your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It's just a contract with God, and you may have feelings and you may not. You may get goose pimples. I had one person tell me, I got goose pimples. Well, good for you. I never got any goose pimples. I didn't know what a goose pimple was. I was 10 years old out on the farm, way out, and we were so far out on the farm, way out in the country, the sun set before it got to our house, if you can believe that. And so here this man is, and he's talking to Jesus, and he's walking for the Lord, and he wants to know God, and he's just, all you have to do is just to pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart. This man hadn't done that. And so he went to the temple. He prayed. He had his certain prayers. He loved the temple. He went to church and all of that. But he wasn't saved. He wasn't born in the kingdom. He wasn't in the kingdom. Or he was charitable. And he was charitable and he was benevolent. He knew the law. He obeyed the law. He was careful with money matters. And sometimes he was so careful with the money matters because God had said, I want you to give a tithe. I want you to give 10% of everything you have to me. And they got so they would count the leaves, the spice leaves, and that close, and they would count them out so 1 out of 10 went to God. And then this man, he says, he just did so everything he could to follow the law and to be the law. And yet Jesus says, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. How far? How not far? He was out of touch. He wasn't there. The scribe was so to be admired. He had all of that, but he never given his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was near. And there were a lot that were afar off. He was close near. He was close by. But there were others were far off. The Pharisees were far off in their formalism. The Sadducees were far off in their skepticism and in their arrogance. The publicans were far off in their vice and their sins. And the multitudes were far off in their ignorance. They were far from the kingdom of God. Today, my dear friend, you may be like that scribe. You may be near, but not in. You may be almost a Christian, almost to cover the line, cross the line, but you may not know Jesus, and you may not be saved. You're not saved, you're not in. You're close, you're at the border. For instance, you may believe in God with all of your heart. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us, if you don't believe in God, you are a fool. And when we look at creation, we know that someone had to make it. It just can't come of itself and make creation. If you have a watch, there has to be a watchmaker. If you have a house, there has to be a carpenter. If you have a universe, there has to be a God out there making those things. And to believe that these things put themselves together by themselves is utter nonsense. No wonder God calls them a fool. That's what God says. And if anybody ought to know, it would be God. If you have any reasoning in your mind at all, you will know if there has to be a sun and a moon and a stars in their fixed courses and places and all of creation, and it just happened by itself. You're way, way off. You're not even close. Albert Einstein said this, everybody who is seriously interested in the pursuit of science becomes convinced that a spirit is manifest in the laws of the universe, a spirit vastly superior to that of man, and one in the face of which we, with our modest powers, must feel humble. Einstein, there has to be a God. There is a God. There's a man named Robert Zastrow, director of NASA's Goddard Institute of Space Studies, and he writes this, I'm fascinated by some strange developments going on in astronomy. The astronomical leads to a biblical view of the origin of the world. He says, you believe in God? Who doesn't? Only the fool. Zastrow goes on and he writes in his book, the world is filled with wonders everywhere we look. Who made all of this? Did it just happen? Or is there someone else, God, who created the heavens and the earth? He writes and he says, the billions of stars in the sky, did they just happen to make themselves and generate their own power to keep on course? The land just happens to have topsoil without which nothing can grow? The air we breathe only 50 miles deep and exactly the right composition to support life? Is that just another accident in the laws of physics? He says, and what prevents lakes from freezing solid all the way down to the bottom, making it impossible for fish to survive? Why does the earth spin at a given speed without slowing up so that we have day and night? And who tilts it so that we get the seasons? And he says, and no one really knows why and how of the magnetic pulls. Or think of the sun stoking a fire just warm enough to sustain us on earth, but not hot enough to fry us or cold enough to freeze us. Who keeps the sun constant? It just do it by itself? Good grief. And what about the human body? An intricate combination of bones and muscles and nerves and blood vessels. The human brain has far capacity, greater capacity than any computer imagined. The kidneys contain approximately 280 miles of tiny tubes, and in the course of a day, they filter 185 quarts of water from the blood. And then there is a heart, an unbelievably rugged organ, four-chamber, four-valve pump, which handles 5,000 gallons of blood a day, almost enough to fill a railroad tank car. It supplies a circulatory system with 12,000 miles of vessels, and the blood in your body in the course of a lifetime beats 2.5 billion times. And the blood in your body is pumped through your heart every minute while your heart beats 100,000 times a day. There is a God. You may believe that, but you're still not in the kingdom of God. You may believe there is a God, but you're not into the kingdom. And so then you may have considerable knowledge of the Bible. You may know a lot about religion. And yet there are people like Billy Graham who has crusades, and he says that he has a file of letters of pastors who have preached for years who never accepted Jesus Christ until a crusade. They were near, but they weren't in. And so we may know scripture verses. The devil quotes scripture all the time. And when he tempted Jesus, he quoted scripture. He knows the Bible. And he's the son of perdition. He's the son of hell. You may know a lot about the Bible. But like some professors in the liberal seminaries, they don't teach it. And the author of the Bible, this wonderful God, we have to come to him, but they haven't put him in the place as the divine Son of God. And so they're close, but they're not in. Or you may have a strong conviction of sin. Judas realized that he had sinned. He may be sorry. You may be sorry for your sins. You may wish you hadn't have sinned. You may be broken and vexed and dismayed. But if you don't do something about it, if you don't go to Jesus and have him wash away those sins in the blood of the Lamb, you're close, but you'll never be in, because God will never have one speck of sin in heaven. And we're covered with sin and filled with sin. God help us. You may be close. Or you may have a good reputation among men. You may be a big giver in the church. You may attend regularly. You may be morally right. And I'm going to tell you, I never put down a person that's morally right. God bless them. But that'll never bring them into the kingdom. They will never save their soul unless they come to Jesus Christ. They are near. They are good, so awfully good. But they're never near until they get there. And always near, but never in. And so look at Judas. Here he was. He was with the disciples. He walked with the disciples. He lived with the disciples. He was such a morally upright man that of all of those men, who would they trust with their money? Judas. And they couldn't have said he was a thief. And so you may know a lot, and you may travel with the people of God and sit in church, and you may just love the church and music and so on. But unless you've received Jesus Christ, you're eternally lost. Or you may be free from many of the vices of men, and you may live a wonderful life that's so pure and so clean, almost spotless, but there's nobody perfect. And from the so even though you don't have the vices of men, even though you have a morally good life, you're near, but you're not in, and you're never in until you're born again. You may even enjoy the services of the church, but you're not in. And there was a great King Agrippa. Oh, and he tells Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. King Agrippa is saying, I am with a little more persuasion, I'm going to embrace Christianity. In a little more persuasion, I'm going to accept Jesus Christ. But I need a little more time. And that's the devil. He'll always want you to put it off. And he'll have you put it off. And the amazing thing is that he did turn it down. He was so close, and yet he was so far. And in the doom of Agrippa, we have the words of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at time first time was spoken by the Lord, was confirmed to us by him that heard us? In other words, he's talking to this person, and he's almost in, and he's considering Christianity, and he's thinking about Christianity, and he's so close that he can hear the music of heaven, and he can smell the scent of that wonderful city of God. He is so close that he just has to do one thing. He just has to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Christ's sake. Come into my heart, dear Jesus. I've sinned terribly against you. And I know some of you have terrible sins. I never had terrible sins because I was 10 years old. What sin could I do except sass my mom? And I sure didn't do that, or I'd get my mouth washed out with soap, which happened just once in my life. And I got the message. And so you may be doing all these things, but you have to cross over. And there may be multitudes of you right now, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. And Jesus is knocking at your heart, and he says, I want to come in, but I can't come in unless you ask me in. And you're saying, I want Jesus, but I'm going to put it off. The devil's saying, put it off. Don't do it now. Just wait. Because he knows if you wait, you'll never do it. You'll never get there. And so you say, Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. I got terrible sins. I'm so sorry for them, dear Jesus. Please forgive me. And Jesus says, come now, let us, God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'll wash them away. And St. John tells us the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. And the writers of the Hebrews says, where God says, their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. I'll wash them away in the blood of the Lamb. So you come and say, talk to Jesus. Say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Please come into my heart and take away my sins. And oh, I'll follow you the best I can. I love you, Jesus. And thank you for saving my soul. Now, if you've done that, you write to us and we'll send you some literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll send you literature. Wherever you are in the world, we'll send you literature. And if you can't get to us, read the Gospel of John. Start reading your Bible. And then we want to just to let you know that we need your help financially. And you need to send us a gift. If you think this is something of the Lord, then you need to help us out. And you can do it on the internet if you want to, christianworshiphour.com. There's PayPal. And you put it on there and you pay it and we'll be your pal. And if you don't pay it, we'll still be your pal. But we'll be able to pay our bills unless you help us. And we just don't have it. We just have to come as God provides. But he's provided now for almost 40 years. And so we carry on. So we're just praying that you'll just, you know, write to us and let us know how you're doing and let us know if you have questions and problems. Send us a gift if you can. Most of our gifts are small gifts, but whatever they are, help us along. And so now we're going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all who've opened their heart to you. We pray that you'll just give them the assurance of salvation. Help them to believe your word. You said, if any man calls on me, that you'll give them eternal life. And that's just what you've done. We pray for the children that have been listening, Lord, that in their little tender hearts, they'll ask Jesus, dear Jesus, to come and come into their heart. We're praying for the young people, Lord, that have so many temptations. Oh, my heart goes out to them. They need Jesus, and Jesus loves them. Help them to ask Jesus into their heart. And to the shut-ins, Lord, who can't get out, and maybe some are hurting and they have pain, and others are lonely and there's nobody with them. Help them, dear, to know that you're with them. You said you never leave them or forsake them, and you'll always keep your word. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we hope that you'll write to us, and we just need to hear from you if you want this to carry on. Got to hear from you. Help us the best you can. Just ask Jesus what to give. And then you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And you know something wonderful. We're preaching every Sunday, and we can't see you. And I just wish I could shake your hand and see you. Well, if you accept Jesus, you're right at the edge. Step over now and accept him. And then in heaven, we'll have time. We'll have eternity. And I can maybe get to shake your hand, and I'll get to see you, and I'll see who you were and where you lived and what you maybe, what that. But there's one thing I'll never know. I'll never know what your sins were, because they're all washed away. And you won't know all my sins. Wouldn't you like to know some of my sins? Ha ha. You'll never know, because as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed those sins from us. God bless you. What a wonderful Jesus.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.